The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction of our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Thank you. And now it's time for The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show.
You are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody, and today I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend and regular collaborator who does fantastic work on a variety of issues. We'll be linking to all his websites in the post for the show, as always. He is Dr. Eric Carlson. I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, good to be with you, Andy. Ready to go. We got some interesting new material to talk about today, but it's I think pretty important. We're trying to spread the word, wake people up to some programs that are ongoing, I think mostly throughout the world, and somehow or another we have to shake and rattle and roll and get the message that we have to defend ourselves from this very, very diabolical system that we've been talking about. We've done about six shows on it, the global gang stalking and electronic torture program. And it doesn't sound very appetizing, doesn't sound very fun, but on the other hand, it's a life and death matter for many people. So I think that, best not keep our heads in the sand on this one.
Absolutely. And what have you been up to since you were last on the show, Eric?
Well, actually, Andy, I spent 30 years as a professor doing whatever professors do, teaching and research and all that stuff, working my way up through that system. But all throughout, I have been a musician. I was, interested in, music since I was quite young, and started the guitar when I was 13. And banjo, I guess, when I was 19, and piano when I was 20. So I've made a lot of CDs of my music and recorded other kinds of music. But I have about 8 CDs which are my own instrumentals on piano, guitar, and banjo. And it seemed to me that maybe it would be interesting to try to combine these instrumentals with narrations of information regarding what I regard now as the topic, because we're dealing with a topic here that potentially could genocide huge segments of the population and or mind control huge segments of the population. And in order to get the message out, I thought it'd be nice to combine the information that I've gleaned for my research on the gang stalking mind control cults.com website with the music. Now, I have found in my research since about the time I realized I was a targeted individual in 2013, I have been reading and listening to testimony of many targeted individuals, trying to discern what the truth is from the lies, and that's not easy. But again, being an academic, a professor, you've done that most of your life anyway. So I have found certain individuals who I think are targeted individuals who are extraordinarily aware of the programs they've been put through. And so I tend to quote these kinds of people and then put that with my music, and we'll hear some examples today. So I spent 2 weeks recording using my tunes and rewriting a few popular tunes as well, with lyrics that apply to this topic. And I've come up with about 65 tracks now of different lengths And I probably will put this together in the future. It will be titled something like A Musical and Informational Lifeline for Targeted Individuals, Their Families, and Other Humans, or something like that. And, you know, I'll give it away or sell it or whatever, you know, on CDs or on a thumb drive or whatever, and mainly to help people in the, you know, who are being attacked. I mean, as Mark M. Rich said, this is a very cleverly disguised program of torture and murder. So people are being attacked. People are being killed. People's minds are being mapped. They are being used as non-consensual human experimentees, test subjects. They're treated like lab rats, and they are disposed of. They are made homeless. They are made broke. They are tortured and eventually eliminated. Now, this is not a warm and fuzzy topic. This is murder. This is torture of people who are not criminals, people who are just normal citizens that somehow got on this terrorism watch list thing. So anyway, this to me is the issue. I'll be working on this my remaining days. I started with, you know, 9/11 being a fraud and global warming being a fraud, and those are huge issues, but they do not compare with this, in my opinion.
Yes, I think it's interesting you say that, because certainly with the 9/11, and there are some people out there that would disagree, but I think that once you've got all the facts, that different people like to see that from different angles. Some are desperate to find out exactly how it was pulled off, all the physics involved, you know, whether there were bombs involved or directed energy weapons or what have you. There are others out there who just really want to be satisfied as to who was behind it, regardless of how they did it. But that certainly, to most people, it has a beginning and an end. And once you find that you've got enough information for your belief as to what happened, whereas the targeted individual situation is something that goes on and on, because there's new things coming out all the time.
Right. Yeah, and both have to do with this global takeover that you and I are quite familiar with. So there is there are many secular aspects to this, and then there are also important spiritual aspects. We're dealing with the synagogue of Satan. We're dealing with occultists. We're dealing with the Antichrist kingdom that they want to bring about. So I think that if there's anything kind of unique about my work, it is that I try to incorporate both aspects. And as a professor, I'm much more comfortable with the secular aspects. You know, here's the military programs that preceded what's happening now. Here's what the CIA did in 1940s, 50s, 60s, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the synagogue of Satan, which controls, you know, this whole thing, as you know. And, you know, who are these agencies serving? Are they serving the people? Are they serving the high cabal, which, of course, is the synagogue of Satan? And what we find out, you know, even just through research, we don't have to even speculate. We can go to experts and we can find out from their testimony that the CIA, for instance, has always been the willing tool of the high cabal. And the high cabal is the synagogue of Satan. So the CIA never served the American people, not since its founding in 1947. So, you know, you dig and you dig and you get the rabbit hole. And yes, people get very obsessed about the physics. And I think that's an interesting rabbit hole to go down. But given that the military is, you know, probably 50 years ahead of even academic science, I've read that in many places, it's classified science. We could just spin our wheels on that forever. So it is important to know some of the physics, and we can talk about it, but we can't know for sure. But we can find out who's doing it and why. And that, I think, as you say, that's important, because then we can move forward and try to figure out how to defend ourselves. We should be at the point where we're generating ideas. How do we defend ourselves? How do we get our governments to serve us? How do we get our legal systems to enforce their own laws? Because these are crimes against humanity. These are war crimes that are being committed in many, many, many nations, most of the nations of the world. We need to, if we can get our governments to enforce our own laws, we have a lot of people be in jail right now. Or worse.
Yes, exactly.
Because this is murder. I mean, these people are deserve capital punishment. And the people behind 9/11, for instance, Dick Cheney and George Bush, and you know, go down the list of all the names of the neocons, the 25 to 30 neocons that run America and have, you know, for a few decades now or more, these people need to be prosecuted. And we'd find a very extensive network on that. But that's a bit of a digression.
Well, it's very interesting. And what we're going to do, folks, some of these narrations, and we've got a song as well. We're going to start off with one of Eric's narrations he's put together in the last couple of weeks. Then we'll do a song in the middle, and then we'll close out with another narration at the end. So I hope you're going to find this as fascinating as I did when I heard these earlier today before recording the show with Eric. So I'm going to start off with the first narration. This is called Testimony of Stephen O'Keefe. Here we go, folks.
From targeted individual as lone wolf terrorist. Introduction to the Op Catalyst website, which has now been removed from the internet. I am what is called a targeted individual or enemy of the state. Becoming an enemy of the state is quite easy. Uncover a few of its crimes and criminal conspiracies, be as investigative and honest as you can be, and you'll be an enemy of the state quite quickly. In my case, after some years of investigative research, I uncovered existing mysteries about my own life while attracting the attention and interest of government intelligence services and their secret police. These government operations are clandestine, or secret, or classified. Things a government calls secret are many times very illegal, and activities a government classifies are sometimes outright criminal. You can measure a government's illegality and criminality in the vast number of documents it conceals from public view. Governments which target persons in the way they have targeted me are mafia states, meaning the government operates in secret as a highly evolved mafia. The way a mafia targets people is by surrounding the target mostly with others connected to or owned by the mafia state. Informants, government employees, snitches, lackeys. And the reason for this is because you are of more value to the government than you are a physical threat. In my case, I was targeted at a young age because of my artistic skills, observational abilities, and computer programming knowledge, for what the Canadian and American governments have been testing on me, which is a highly sophisticated wireless surveillance and an unbelievably advanced intelligence and military technology. It goes under various names. I call it virtual telepathy, or VT. It's called remote neural monitoring and prompting, brain repatterning, and EEG fingerprinting. Basically, it's a way to wirelessly monitor anybody using the body's biometric displacement field and also computer interfacing the target's brain patterns. This transforms a target, that is, a responsive target, into a test subject for a super spy, soldier, and super policing program. Virtual telepathy, VT, is a bit of a parlor trick, being a combination of hands-free biometric surveillance and remotely prompting the human target to receive and acknowledge these prompts. It may seem like telepathy, but it's only one way. You are a targeted individual with no formal affiliation to the government, its military, police, or intelligence services. The reason for this is simple. This elaborately advanced surveillance technology and its clandestine handlers will drive you insane. It is a weapon, and it is also the most powerful of weapons, being invisible. Imagine wearing a set of wireless earbuds or Secret Service ear prompter where you are receiving wireless radio instructions day and night, even in your sleep. To wake up, to go for a walk, to turn left, to turn right, to stop, to start, to nod yes, or shake your head no, like an obedient soldier. Now imagine receiving those instructions after taking off those physical headphones, and that these signals can reach your head wirelessly anywhere you go, like a radio. You can understand why intelligence, military, and police desire this immensely, as there are no communications which can be monitored or intercepted by a third party. It is private, discreet, and transmitted through an anonymous computer interface to the target's own brain fingerprint, which is theirs and theirs alone, exploiting the same wireless frequencies which are all around us. Adapting to this technology requires isolating the target and destroying their life and sanity in a complete personality disintegration, thereby infiltrating their brain. Canada has a history of this brain repatterning going back to the 1950s with the government and CIA-funded MKUltra program at McGill University with Dr. Ewan Cameron. Like every type of weapon, governments never stop advancing them. It took me a long time to adapt to the VT weapon I was and am subjected to, over 10 years. It also involved treatment with antipsychotics so that I could both endure it and remain sane with undisturbed sleep. The reality is that this weapon's development has been going on in various forms through the participation of the American, Canadian, Israeli, and British governments for quite some time, and they generally use prisoners who are both helplessly and constantly monitored in jail cells. These governments, all the way to the top, want virtually telepathic soldiers, spies, and secret police, expanding the required wireless neural monitoring to global populations, whether they know about it or not.
Fascinating, Eric, absolutely fascinating. I've got a couple of questions that jump to mind straight away. Firstly, are you familiar with what's been happening to Julian Assange in the UK? He recently turned up at court and he didn't seem to know where he was or who he was. And so even more mainstream, if you like, in the alternative media, the alt-light or whatever you want to call it, are coming out and saying, look, this guy's clearly being tortured in prison. What are your thoughts on that and how that could fit into targeted individuals gang stalking?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And you may have read, Andy, that he grew up in a cult, I think in South America, little blonde-haired kids. Headed kids, I think it might have been the Children of God or something like that. A lot of these cults, of course, are places where intelligence agencies could practice their mind control techniques and test. And not only that, more sinister yet, the basic prototype in MK Ultra, which is derived from the Illuminati, actually, is that a child of 6 and younger can be traumatized, as in, you know, rape or something like that, or in a ritual abuse situation, satanic ritual abuse, and a child of 6 or less will actually dissociate to the point of splitting off another alternative personality. Now, if you're 6 and older, then you get PTSD or shell shock. But if you're 6 and younger, you actually, in order for the young child to even survive, to defend itself, it has to split off another personality. And the psychologist or the trainer who's there can recognize when that happens, and then they go ahead and program the alter or the subalter personality. That's the basic way that the government now takes, and ever since MKUltra, and I'm sure they have ways to do it now electronically as well, remotely, but they take somebody, and they're able to make a whole series of subalter personalities, which can be programmed, and then to fulfill different functions, you know, sex slave, courier, Manchurian candidate, assassin, etc., super soldier, and then the handler can go ahead and trigger from one subalter to another as needed. So the human being then becomes kind of a bio-robot slave, and you really have to ask yourself, is this really a human being, or is this something else now? I mean, we have now You've now taken a human and turned it into something else, something without free will, as we would know, or with very limited free will. They would often have a front personality, and then a whole, maybe a whole 100 or 200 or even 1,000 subaltern personalities. So I think it's very likely that Julian Assange is one of these people. From his own childhood, this is the kind of background he came from. Maybe it was in Australia rather than South America. I can't remember. But anyway, he was one of these cults. And so he has probably been fulfilling a function, as a whistleblower, controlled opposition. That's my guess, and I can't prove that. But looking at his background, I would say that he is handled. And he well may be tortured. Obviously, if this is true, what I'm suggesting, he has been tortured in the past and then would be kind of a functionary. So this is how they do it. They control all sides, and there are many, many sleepers who are programmed, biorobots, push-button people, whatever. And many, many of these have become, I think, the perps, who actually are Satan's army. You know, so if you're a targeted individual, you're being tortured on a daily basis. You're being harassed and tailed and spotted and tracked, and there's street theater and whatnot. And many of these perps, I believe, are fragmented individuals, programmed and fragmented. In other words, they are Satan's secret army. And, you know, this gets kind of grim. So sorry, folks. You know, I would like to be the bearer of happy news. But the reality is, and Fritz Springmeier has written about this, you know, he estimated some 10 or 15 years ago that there were 2 million programmed in this country due to MKUltra and other CIA programs that are sleepers. So they can be triggered at any moment to fulfill any goal that they've been programmed for, including Satan wants to win when Christ comes back. So I think ultimately what we're looking at is Satan's army being built up here through these kind of mind control programs. And Satan, I do believe, from what I've read, you know, that's his goal. He's going to try to win. And this is one of his greatest tools. This is one of his, of course, we're also dealing with powers and principalities, as you know. So yeah, this gets very deep and dark.
Yes, it does. And the other question, this is something that I've never really addressed on this show, and it's for a reason. I tend to go for the more scriptural route of, you know, paranormal would be the wrong word, but something that's not, we can't physically see here, but I believe exists. Other people talk about off-planet intelligence, extraterrestrials, UFOs, that sort of thing. I certainly think that something weird happened in Roswell and what have you. You made the comment in the testimony of Stephen O'Keefe about, I think beforehand, about these people having, that the military having technology 50 years ahead of what's been released to us today. In your research, have you come across anything that would lead you to believe that there's any sort of extraterrestrial involvement in this?
Well, absolutely there is paranormal, in the sense that the CIA got very, very interested in this with Project Stargate and you know, their remote viewing, et cetera. And they were cultivating connections with the occult. I think we can look at the CIA, and this hurts me to say this, but I think we can look at the CIA, you know, as serving willing tools of the high cabal, which is occult satanic forces, and they would therefore, unfortunately, take on many of those aspects, or at least many of the individuals within the CIA. You can't say all. I can't say all because it's a vast organization, but there has been a lot of crossover scientific investigation into the occult by the CIA, and they do use it. So, you know, I go back in my thinking, Andy, to the Nazis. Apparently, you know, the Tool Society and the Vril Society and all these satanic cults that kind of animated the Nazis, and I think there was certainly a big Jewish connection as well, you know, it could well be that there were deals made with fallen angels. You give us this information, you know, for our physics, and we'll, you know, we'll give you what you want, you know. And I think... The, you know, I think these kinds of deals are and have been made by the intelligence services. You know, we want this power, and we're willing to give you this for that. In other words, these fallen angels, these powers and principalities do exist, and there are connections between the intelligence services and these powers and principalities. That's my gut level. And I could, you know, I haven't written anything about this, but I've certainly read about it. And in terms of the Nazis, and there's so many Nazis came over in Operation Paperclip after World War II and joined the CIA. And we're talking many, 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 as well as, you know, placed in corporations and military positions and universities all over the country. So these became then a huge asset from spoils of war, you might say, from World War II, were these very, very brilliant Nazi scientists, many of whom were doing the mind control programming, like Joseph Mengele, and of course, the rocket scientists. So, this connection between science and the occult, I think, is something that's very important. And then there's classified science, the Jason Group, and all these very, very brilliant men in the United States that were doing, you know, the Manhattan Project, to explore, you know, to create the nuclear bomb. And I think parallel with that was this Manhattan Project of the Mind, which was going on at the same time. And Cheryl Welsh, who's a great researcher, who I quote in my new project here, now a lawyer in California, and also at TI, she has mapped out the history of the mind control experiments and projects, and she believes that, and she quotes others to the extent like Alfred McCoy, Dr. McCoy, who's written some excellent books about torture in America, that the MK Ultra programs of the 50s were garnering about $1 billion a year. This was top secret stuff, but they were actually trying to look for the code of the brain. And she believes that they actually discovered it back in the 50s and 60s through these top secret science groups like the Jason Group, et cetera. There's five or six or seven names for these secret science groups. But this is all classified science. And I think that she makes a good case. And I quote her, and I've got her articles on my website. So it is due to the pioneering work of some, you know, extraordinarily brave targeted individuals that some of this information is come out. Dr. Ronnie Kilda, certainly. Stephen O'Keefe, I've done many. I've got, I think, six or seven song tracks and narration tracks that I quote him. Very brilliant Canadian. You know, otherwise, how are we going to know what's going on? I mean, they don't send you a letter and say, now we're going to target you. All of a sudden, your life is unraveling and you don't know what's going on. And many, many do commit suicide. And that is a stated goal of the program, is to drive people to suicide or to a crime of passion or to become a shooter. And then they feed the whole domestic terrorism industry and subjugate the public through fear. So this is a very, very elaborate system. It's very, very dark. But I hope that kind of addresses some of those points.
It does. But when you mentioned fallen angels, I'm very pleased that you went down this line. It was something that I really felt I needed to raise, but I agree with you. I think that there's a bit of a misinterpretation. In my opinion, there are other people that disagree. They're perfectly entitled to do so. I think that these things that we witness, these histories, are more likely to be fallen angels than actual extraterrestrials. Certainly, if there were, they don't seem to be acting in a benevolent way towards the people on this planet. They seem to be working with the most evil people that they can find. So if there were indeed extraterrestrials, they don't appear to be our friends. But the term fallen angel jumped out at me because I was familiar with that as a title of an X-Files episode. Now, bear in mind, the way I phrased the question was, you know, do you believe in extraterrestrials, UFOs, that sort of thing? And your answer was really, this could be more fallen angels. So technically it's paranormal, but it's more spiritual, biblically related than it would be extraterrestrial related. There was an X-Files episode in their very first series in 1993, and it was the 10th episode of season one. And the description, and I remember it, when Mulder and Scully investigate a mysterious crash site, they find that the official reports of the incident may be covering up the crash of a UFO. Meanwhile, Mulder meets a ufologist who believes may be a former alien abductee, one of these people abducted by aliens. But what was the title of the episode? Fallen Angel, Eric.
Yeah, and many researchers like Martin Gannon believe that the UFO phenomenon is really a cover story for mind control, and that that they are able to implant these visions and memories in the mind control victim, that they have been abducted and put on a spaceship and whatnot. I mean, the whole torture thing really turns out to be a lot of theater. There's a lot of theater involved in that. And of course, this no-touch torture is deeply psychological, and you're separating the target or the subject from reality, and you're doing it almost with plays, with little scripts like street theater for the targeted individuals, like gaslighting. So you put them in a false reality, and you do so deliberately. So it's almost as if it's a little Hollywood, which has manifested around the targeted individual or the torture subject. And I think that these are techniques that are used by human beings. But I believe it's just my gut level, Andy, that there is actually fallen angel technologies involved in this electronic reprogramming of the brain as well. I think there is a collaboration. I think the UFO phenomenon is mostly, a cover for what's behind it, which is this capturing and splitting of human minds and souls. And so we're dealing with something that's very, very dark. I mean, Satan wants, of course, everybody to go to hell with him. And this process, I think, satanizes just about everybody who's involved with it. I mean, the people who are doing this are doing something very, very evil, so they would have to have crossed over to the dark side to do it, to be the perps. But I think the goal of the program, to a large extent, is to satanize and to, win the soul, so to speak, of the target as well. So we targets are in a very vulnerable position, especially considering that the resources of the state are, and plus the business world, the Rothschilds, the International Zionist Criminal Syndicate, whatever, are being directed towards our own satanization, so then we cannot be opponents of their new world order. That's how I kind of put it together.
Yes, very, I would go along with that, Eric. And what we'll do now, we're just over halfway through, so we're ploughing through this one today. I knew it was going to be fascinating information. So I'm going to now play your track, T.I. Tom Dooley. So I'm going to mute us again. And folks, this is T.I. Tom Dooley.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Shouldn't have wrote that letter. Now, Popo, you're bound to die. Down at the fusion center, they put you on a list. They collected all your data, said you're a terrorist. Now, perps stalk you in the morning. They swarm you late at night, hit you with electronic weapons and no-touch torture. You got no more civil rights. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. You shouldn't have wrote that letter. Now, poor boy, you're bound to die. Down at the fusion center, they put your name upon a list. You're a non-consensual human subject for some neuroweapons test. You get no more due process, no more civil liberties. Now, Tommy, you're just a lab rat, a target for the DOD. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. You shouldn't have wrote that letter. Now, Popo, you're bound to die.
Tom, this is the voice of God. V2K, synthetic for virtual telepathy and microwave hearing, speaking directly to your skull and bypassing your eardrums. You have been secretly and extrajudicially classified as a terrorist, an enemy non-combatant, an enemy of the state, a target. You are now incarcerated in our invisible prison without walls, an electronic concentration camp. Your life will be controlled via our 24/7 active surveillance technologies. You will be monitored, manipulated, and incrementally tortured, much as we monitor and tortured detainees at Guantanamo Bay and our other rendition torture facilities. Whether you venture out into the public or seek recluse in your home, you will be subject to continual psychological attacks by surveillance role players and untraceable attacks by electromagnetic and neuroweapons. Your daily life will be completely engulfed with spies, lies, setups, and psyops. In this way, you will be isolated and eventually removed from society, all paid for with your own tax dollars. While some refer to this technology as remote neural manipulation, man-machine interface, biomedical telemetry, and transhumanism, we in the agency like to call it social engineering, perception management, aversive therapy, behavior modification, and peacekeeping operations. The Pentagon calls it the electronic battlefield, information warfare, cyber warfare, military operations other than war, unconventional warfare, and low-intensity conflict. DARPA corporations and futurists use these technologies to perfect hive mind, biotech, and the cloud. And to neuroscientists at top universities and medical facilities, you are a human test subject for lucrative grants and career advancement. With our electronic dissolution of memory, EDEM system, we will erase your memory of this conversation. Have a nice day, Big Brother.
By this time next year, your mind will be revamped. Inside your private invisible cage, your electronic concentration camp. Tommy, what were you thinking? What were you thinking, son? When you sent off that letter, that questioned 911. Hang down your head, Tom, duly hang down your head and cry. That letter. Now, poor boy, you're bound to die.
That was excellent, Eric. You got so much in there, and to take that song and, you know, do that with it, I thought was absolutely fascinating. I don't really know where to. The other point that comes to mind is there are people out there now that are standing up for Assange, and they're quite big names, like the Australian journalist John Pilger, who was always supposed to be going against the grain, and a far bigger name would of course be Roger Waters from the band Pink Floyd, which are one of the most successful bands ever with regard to album sales and what have you, and he's gone right against the establishment with his talk about the way the Israelis treat the Palestinians. But neither of them seem to want to take it on to the next level and talk about who really controls the banking system, the media. Is there a reason? I mean, the main reason people would think that these people must know. I mean, Pilger must definitely know, because he's been doing this journalism a lot longer than you and I, and it's been his career. And you would think Roger Waters would know also. The main reason most would think is, well, they don't want to go too far because they don't want to lose their careers. But what they're doing already has somewhat cost them their careers anyway. So why do you think that they don't reveal the full extent of the control that these people have, Eric?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Tex Mars, one of our mutual friends and heroes, he was talking in one of his Power of Prophecy shows, and he was talking to some other radio hosts and trying to get an idea how many knew, who knows who's behind this. And he found out that, maybe half of them really knew, but they were afraid to say, And in other words, the synagogue of Satan. And they figured their careers would be destroyed. So, going back to Assange, if indeed I'm right that he is a programmed individual and always has been since his early childhood in the cult, he would be what's called a limited hangout. In other words, the intelligence services are willing to expose this much, and they use that to conceal the rest, And then they have a big play that surrounds, the divulging of this information, and then they, put him on trial, and they lock him up in jail, and then they make him the issue. Well, the real issue, of course, is the deeper facts, which are almost being hidden by this little game that they play. I would imagine Snowden would be in the same category. In other words, they're going to reveal this, they're going to admit to that, and of course they're always moving the goalposts, they deny, and then they realize, we have to admit to this, so then they move the goalposts back, but then they conceal the main stuff. So the intelligence agencies historically are always playing these games, and they want to control the opposition and control the play, almost as if we're being treated to a scripted theater, which of course a targeted individual is also exposed to that on a much, much, much more intense and personal level. But some of the same tactics that are used on targeted individuals are also used on the general population. So again, this goes back to the long-term goal of the CIA to win the battle for the human mind, and the military's been involved in that since the beginning, because they would like to win future wars this way. In other words, the battle for the human mind. If we can change the mind, we don't have to kill them. We'll just control them. So it's very cost-effective for them if they can perfect the system, and of course creating their own super soldiers and super spies. They've been doing that for a long time, hypnotizing people, getting them to be the super spies, the couriers, to perform this, that, and the other role for the military. It's really quite shocking, the degree of military control of their assets, who are programmed assassins, Manchurian candidates, etc., etc. And they're all over the place. It's just the world we live in, and yet nobody knows about it, hardly, It's astonishing.
It's interesting as well, because what you say about the military, we don't know how rigid that structure is on the inside still. Certainly when you get involved in things like that, these are programs they wouldn't reveal. But we do know that there's been an overt campaign to destroy education throughout the West. And you've got things like these courses in America, which are just bizarre, to say the extreme. We've got universities saying that the students should be able to grade their papers, and, you know, you can't teach math because it's racist, and all this weird stuff that they come out with. So essentially, and I mean, you know more about that than anybody because you were a tenured professor for many years. But when you've got situations where they're all getting these degrees in things like gender studies and stuff that have absolutely no use for them in the world, and, you know, you think to yourself, where are these people going to learn things like calculus and the deep sciences and advanced math and things like that anymore, now that these universities are basically refusing to teach them? Because if they did, then certain people that they regard as protected classes won't be able to get through that program because they don't have the educational ability. I mean, that's obviously their opinion. Otherwise, they wouldn't be lowering the standards so much. But there could be another thing at play here, and that is that they only want knowledge within the military framework because that's what they control. And so they'll keep the advanced knowledge there, but the only people that will now have access to it are people that come in through the military that they know that they can brainwash to their program, so that other people who go in the regular world and have abilities, they're not going to ever reach their full potential because no one is going to be prepared to develop them. It's a bit of a mouthful there. We've only got about 10 minutes left. So any quick comment on that, and then I'll play the final narration that you did, Eric.
Yeah, we need to, you know, Doug Valentine in his book, The CIA as Organized Crime, says that, the U.S. military, $800 billion budget a year, has 800 military bases around the world. It's the elephant in the room, you know, and we have our special operations forces destabilizing 134 out of 195 countries right now. And that's as of an article in 2013. And 118 universities in an article in 2016 are getting big grants from the Pentagon. So, you know, they are the elephant that's stomping on everybody. But then the CIA is the serpent in the garden because they are infiltrating all agencies, both in business and in government and, of course, the military itself. So, and they serve the high cabal. So, and according to Kay Griggs, whose testimony I have in this new project, a TI, very smart, who's married to a colonel in the Marine Corps, who's an admitted assassin and also very much robotic. In other words, he was programmed himself. She says the military is a mind-controlled operation run by sexual deviants. In other words, the people at the top are homosexual, they're pedophiles, they're swingers, they're doing everything, every deviant thing you can imagine. That's our military now. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that I think it was Obama appointed a homosexual to head the army. So it's the German disease, they call it, you know. And it came from, well, I'm sure it goes back further than that, but this is what the Nazis brought with Operation Paperclip, is this German disease of homosexuality. And it's all over the military, and I'm sure intelligence too. So there you have it, you know, rotten to the core.
Yes, and now we're going to dive into the last track. And this is incredibly moving, folks. I wanted to play this at the end. And so we'll play it, and then we'll have a few minutes to discuss it. This one is called Letters from Andrew's Father. Here we go.
Letter to Dr. Eric Karlstrom, 2/25/2019. Dear Dr. Karlstrom, I listened to a podcast on the Kev Baker Show last night. After listening and reviewing your websites, I was sure I have found the right person to connect with. My son Andrew committed suicide with a shotgun in our home on August 7th, 2018. This was my 57th birthday. Andrew turned 30 years old on July 20th, 2018. I believe for certain Andrew was a TITC, targeted individual, targeted citizen. He was a highly intelligent man and was an avid computer gamer user. He was a lonely person and had few friends since moving here to Florida in 2007. He had some emotional problems in 2015-2016 and said people were stalking him and he heard evil voices. He medicated himself with benzos for the last 6 months prior to his death. He and I had many conversations prior to his passing, but I did not know what a targeted individual was until I started doing research after he passed. I have only told a few family members about this. They are skeptical and attribute his suicide to a mental illness. This is what a grief counselor told me when I reached out for professional help. I did not tell her about my belief he was a TITC. I did not want to reveal my knowing what I know to be true. As I'm sure you are aware, I have very few people I can turn to or trust. I feel I or other family members can become TIs if we trust the wrong people with our truths. This is frustrating and hard to cope with. You, of all people, can understand what Andrew went through and my need to understand what happened to him. Andrew had many weapons. He only target practiced and collected. He never harmed anything or anyone. I believe he was asked to kill his mother or worse, but instead took his own life to save others. He would do this if he knew people and family were in danger. In my eyes, he was a hero. He was preaching from the Bible days and hours before he died. The reason I am writing to you is because if there is any research you are doing or know of others who are on the front lines, they may help us in remembrance of our son. He would have wanted this. If someone wants to inspect and review my son's high-end computer, I would allow this. The answers to what my son knew or was led to believe are on the hard drive. I am not a tech person. To be honest, I am afraid of what is on that computer. Maybe I should just let it go and destroy it. I don't know. If you are interested or know of others that could use this information, let me know. I know this is a rather long letter, but I had to convey what has happened to someone who cares and is aware of the evil that is occurring. I am not afraid of much anymore, as I wear the armor of God every day and follow Jesus as our Savior. My son's death has brought me much closer to God and his son. I am what you would know as born again. Anyway, I hope you can respond in some fashion. I prefer actual mail, but email is okay too. I appreciate your hard work and effort to awaken people to the truth. Peace and God be with you. Sincerely, from Andrew's father. P.S. Just a little more info on my son. We drove him to the ER about 35 days prior to his passing. Voluntarily, he admitted himself. They Baker acted him to be held for 72 hours under psycho evaluation, then let him go after 36 hours, apologizing and admitted they were wrong in Baker acting him. 2 weeks later, Andrew had to be taken by ambulance for treatment diagnosis of severe stomach pain. Nothing was diagnosed and he was released. 3 weeks later, he shot himself after 3 days of constant mind control, evil thoughts, and no sleep. My wife fell asleep for 15 minutes. That is when he took his life. I was in Colorado at the time. My life has not been the same since I turned 57. And with the letter, I received a baseball card. Grand Slam 1998 with a picture of a 10-year-old boy on it. Paliyup Babe Ruth. The picture is of Andrew and gives his age, weight, height. He bats switch, throws right. Played pitcher and second base, shortstop. Favorite team was the Red Sox. League was Puyallup Babe Ruth. Favorite pro was Alex Rodriguez. And the coach was his father.
Wow. There's not a great deal that any of us can say to that, is there, folks? This is the human tragedy of gang stalking and targeted individuals. Eric, I don't really know what to say. That was incredibly moving. I applaud the bravery of Andrew's father in looking into what happened to his son and trying to find out and expose this so that people like yourself can work with it and continually expose this practice that's going on with the aim that it will stop. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I pray for Andrew's father and I hope that he can take the commitment and the generosity that his two daughters feel. They want to start a foundation, but they want it to be dedicated to mental illness. Well, unfortunately, that feeds the cover story that Andrew was mentally ill. Andrew was not mentally ill. Andrew was a very smart, courageous, strong young man capable of defending himself in many ways. He had guns. He was not a violent person, but he was a collector. He also was very, very good with computers. So I can see why they might have watch-listed him as somebody who was a threat to the coming One World Government, New World Order. In other words, a very competent, capable person, and in his father's words, a truther. Okay, so a truther gets flagged, gets tortured, takes his own life. This is an intolerable situation. We cannot have a government that is targeting good young men like Andrew and in effect, killing them. So it's a torture-murder program. So I hope that Andrew's sisters can get the courage to look this thing in the face and redirect the emphasis of their foundation to help other TIs and to expose this evil and to try to find solutions, legal solutions, so that this kind of thing cannot go on. If they feed the cover story that he was mentally ill, they are just helping feed the beast system which killed him. If they understand what's going on, then they might, with joining efforts with many, many others, we can expose and defeat this diabolical program.
Yes, I think that the problem is that if they wanted to set up a foundation and they changed it as a foundation to expose what targeted individuals will go through, then or actually do go through, then of course they'll be on the list too. And I think it's very unlikely that a foundation like that would be allowed to operate. I'm not talking about the sort of financial censorship that they do to so many of us in the alternative media, but the whole idea of a foundation bearing the name of targeted individuals, that they don't want the public to know that there's a targeted individual program in place. That was what I would fear for, but I applaud the fact that they want to do something, they want to remember their brother, and I think that it's just a way that they just, when you're going through the grief and what have you, and you can only react with the best solution as you see fit, but hopefully they'll all come together and they can unite as a family and work through their loss together and then come to conclusions together. And I want to thank Andrew's father for sharing the tragic tale of Andrew with you, so we've been able to bring it to the audience today. Eric, we've got a minute left. I'm going to hand back to you to close out the show.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Andy. I think we have to realize that the tragedy that has befallen Andrew and his family is being played out all around the world now. There are millions, I believe, of targeted individuals, and these programs are going on all over the world. This is what needs to be exposed. There are millions of tragedies, and of course, fear keeps people quiet. Somehow we have to break out of that fear and realize that, you know, we technically own our own government. We are the owners of government. It says so, in our founding documents. And we have to make that stick. You know, the old phrase, I think it was Benjamin Franklin, said, when government fears the people, you have liberty. When people fear the government, you have tyranny. Clearly, we have tyranny. We have an authoritarian government that is ruling the streets through the gang stalking, as Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi Reich Minister of Propaganda, said you have to do if you want to have a dictatorship. Clearly, that's going on. The dictatorship is ruling the streets. It's terrorizing people. It's terrorizing good civilians. And we have to take back our country from these pernicious and very evil one-world government forces. Satan, the synagogue of Satan.
Absolutely, Eric, and thank you so much for today. You did so much work for the show, and I regard this as one of the most powerful shows that I've ever participated in. I'm sure that the audience will agree. I'll be inviting Eric back on, folks, in the very near future, and I'm hoping to look at the Lifeline Project for targeted individuals so we can start putting together some of the sterling work that Eric's done over the years. He's a leader in this field, and actually get it out to people where it can help those people under attack all around the world. So again, I want to thank Eric for joining me today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for now.
This has been the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on Eurofolk Radio. To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. You can support Andy's work by going to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.